In 1955, my father died with his ancient mother still alive in a nursing home. The old lady was 90 and hadn't even known he was ill. Thinking the shock might kill her, my aunts told her that he had moved to Arizona for his bronchitis. To the immigrant generation of my grandmother, Arizona was the American equivalent of the Alps. It was where you went for your health. More accurately, it was where you went if you had the money. Since my father had failed in all the business enterprises of his life, this was the aspect of the news my grandmother dwelled on, that he had finally had some success. And so it came about that as we mourned him at home in our stocking feet, my grandmother was bragging to her cronies about her son's new life in the dry air of the desert. My aunts had decided on their course of action without consulting us. It meant neither my mother, nor my brother, nor I could visit Grandma because we were supposed to have moved west too, a family, after all. My brother Harold and I didn't mind. It was always a nightmare at the old people's home, where they all sat around, staring at us while we tried to make conversation with Grandma. She looked terrible, had numbers of ailments, and her mind wandered. Not seeing her was no disappointment either for my mother, who had never gotten along with the old woman and did not visit when she could have. But what was disturbing was that my aunts had acted in the manner of that side of the family of making government on everyone's behalf, the true citizens by blood and the lesser citizens by marriage. It was exactly this attitude that had tormented my mother all her married life. She claimed Jack's family had never accepted her. She had battled them for 25 years as an outsider. A few weeks after the end of our ritual mourning, my Aunt Frances phoned us from her home in Larchmont. Aunt Frances was the wealthier of my father's sisters. Her husband was a lawyer, and both her sons were at Amherst. She had called to say that Grandma was asking why she didn't hear from Jack. I had answered the phone. "You're the writer in the family," my aunt said. "Your father had so much faith in you. Would you mind making up something? Send it to me, and I'll read it to her. She won't know the difference." That evening, at the kitchen table, I pushed my homework aside and composed a letter. I tried to imagine my father's response to his new life. He had never been west. He had never traveled anywhere. In his generation, the great journey was from the working class to the professional class. He hadn't managed that either. But he loved New York, where he had been born and lived his life, and he was always discovering new things about it. He especially loved the old parts of the city below Canal Street, where he would find ships, chandlers, or firms that wholesaled in spices and teas. He was a salesman for an appliance jobber with accounts all over the city. He liked to bring home rare cheeses or exotic foreign vegetables that were sold only in certain neighborhoods. Once he brought home a barometer, another time, an antique ship's telescope in a wooden case with a brass snap. "Dear Mama," I wrote, "Arizona is beautiful. The sun shines all day, and the air is warm, and I feel better than I have in years. The desert is not as barren as you would expect, but filled with wild flowers and cactus plants and peculiar crooked trees that look like men holding their arms out. You can see great distances in whatever direction you turn, and to the west is a range of mountains maybe 50 miles from here, but in the morning with the sun on them, you can see the snow on their crests." My aunt called some days later and told me it was when she read this letter aloud to the old lady that the full effect of Jack's death came over her. She had to excuse herself and went out in the parking lot to cry. "I wept so," she said. "I felt such terrible longing for him. You're so right. He loved to go places. He loved life. He loved everything.